Hi everybody, welcome to my daily podcast. Apparently didn't record and it was quite painful, so I have to do this all over again. So three things I talked about in the podcast today. Number one, I talked about the elections in Ekiti State, and pretty much that was like the biggest news on the front burner over the weekend. The elections in Ekiti State was it and was everything. Everybody was talking about that elections, everybody was excited about it. The candidate of the APC, Kayode Fayemi, did nick that. The candidate of the APC, Kayode Fayemi, did nick that in the end. And there was quite a lot of celebration in Ekiti State, and the people were really excited about that. There's been a lot of reactions as a result of that elections. Two things have happened now as a result of that elections. Number one, the PDP has said no to the results of the elections, and they're not really interested and they're not happy about it, so they're definitely going to be going to court. And Kayode Fayemi, the winner, is saying he's going to be checking the books of the state. You know, the salaries have not been paid for about 6 months, but there were allegations, and all of this still remain allegations, that 3,000 naira was shared across the state for people that were in need for them to be able to vote the incumbent party to. There were allegations about the APC to giving 5,000 naira. So all of that will be checked, all of that will be looked at. The possibility of all of that will be looked at very, very strongly. There's been congratulations back and forth. The president, Muhammadu Buhari, has congratulated Kayode Fayemi. And obviously, when you see it's quite a relief for the president. And because when you look at the elections, they deployed about 4,000 soldiers and about 30,000 police officers. That's about 10% of Nigerian police force to avert any crisis or any storm there. It's going to be a great one for the APC to, you know, to be able to reclaim their stake, owing to a lot of controversies happening in their party now, the RAPC, and some other platforms emerging. So let's see how that pans out. There's a level of celebration here and there across board. There's a lot of excitement in the state. And let's see how governance is done in the state. There's another story, very painful story, of some Nigerians that were defrauded, giving fake fans ID because they wanted to go to Russia. I think the travel industry should be highly regulated, and I think there should be a lot of government regulation that checks things like this. So defaulting companies should be really punished. They should be punished, and they should be looked at strongly. And I feel, in fact, that to a large extent, all travel agencies should have registration with the Nigerian Tourism Development Corporation. It's under that, and they should be able to regulate these people to a large extent. I think I think it should be an oversight on their part. Other things happening, there's been this story about Owando in the news. Owando is said to be paying some of their partners 680 million. And if you know, there's been a lot of, you know, entanglement around the Owando company since that stock market sort of delisting happened recently. So let's see how that pans out in the coming days. A lot is happening. There were some killings in Edo State. It's quite very painful that killings increasingly has just become something that we just gloss about. Let's quickly move on to the foreign scene, because we need to do this in 5 minutes. Three things happened, key things that happened in the foreign scene. Number one, natural disaster, the mudslides that happened in Japan, and by extension too, there was a massive flooding in Abeokuta, and the governor should please work on this. A lot of properties were lost, a lot of lives too were affected in that. Please, the governor should work hard on that in Abeokuta, the Ogun State capital. In fact, people started marking themselves safe on Facebook. And while that goes on, the Trump visit was another very big one over the weekend. There were protests, over 100,000 people packed full at the BBC Portland House in London. And they were protesting about many things, about the policies of Trump, misogyny, and some other things Trump stands for that they do not like. So that was on for quite some time. And that really did pan out well. But funny enough, the following day, another group that was pro-Trump came out and they protested, and they said, you know what, we are pro-Trump, and people shouldn't act like Britain is for people that are against Trump alone. But Trump wasn't bothered by all of that. He still said what he had to say. He still sort of made a jerk at Theresa May by saying that your Brexit plans are not working. We all know that Theresa May was trying to opt for a soft Brexit plan, but it's not just working for her, and it's just a very terrible time for Britain now. And he said it might be affecting a couple of trade deals. Afterwards, he's left. He went to Scotland to play some golf, and he's left. He's going to Helsinki, and prelude to the conference he's having with Vladimir Putin, he's already saying that the Eurozone is an enemy. This just to show you that Trump is really upsetting the apple cart, and Thucydides' trap, a lot of analysts are talking about, is real, and this might just affect a lot of people in that zone. So let's see how that negotiations pan out today. Let's see how that goes when he meets China. Other things happening on the sports scene. Serena Williams, I doff my hat for her. Why? Because 2010, she almost died. She had a cut, stepped on glass or something. Yep. At she almost lost her life. Now, after she had a child, she had a surgery. In fact, her husband, Alexis Ohanian, of Armenian origin, and the co-founder of Reddit, thought she was going to die. And he said he kissed her goodbye while she was doing the surgery, but she came back, and now she had a Wimbledon final. She lost to the German 6-3, 6-3, Kerber. Kerber was on a game. Congratulations to her. But Serena keeps pushing on. All Team Serena out there. The big one, Alele Blu, the French have done it again. After 20 years, they beat Croatia 4-2. Croatia said they were a small country with big dreams. They did try their best, but they had great players. Those players like Luka Modric, that was the MVP. And they also had players that really came through for them. Kylian Mbappe was voted the best young player after Pelé, scoring 4 goals in a long time in the World Cup, at just the age of 19. Harry Kane won the Golden Boot, Luka Modric MVP, Thibaut Courtois best goalkeeper, awards here and there, and celebrations here and there in the Luzhniki in Russia. The president was there, Emmanuel Macron was over the moon, constantly kissing and hugging, was excited. The Blues just showed up our national team, just like 1998 when they won it. A lot of the guys were from Africa. Zidane was from Africa. Lilian Thuram was from Africa. The likes of Marcel Desailly was Ghanaian. The likes of Thierry Henry was from West Indies. You know, you have many players. A constellation of many stars. Lizarazu was from the Spanish border, and it was just. Just like that this year, Lucas Hernandez, obviously of Spanish origin, Pogba, African, Kante, African, and Titi, Varane, and some other great players in the team. Congratulations to the Blue. They just did this just a day after the celebration of Bastille Day. And I'm sure the celebration is going to continue. Makes it the second time. And in fact, the World Cup is going home because it was a Frenchman, Jules Rimet, that invented the World Cup. And the first edition of the tournament was called the Jules Rimet Cup. So congratulations to the French. Didier Deschamps made it the third person to win the World Cup as a player and as a coach. He won it in 98 and now 2018, 20 years after, as a coach. The other two players that have done that are Mario Zagallo of Brazil and Franz Beckenbauer of Germany. So celebrations here, and that's the podcast for you today.